I'm Tim.
I'm Jordan.
Oh, I get to do it this time.
Yeah.
And welcome to Failures, Flops, and Fiascos.
Tim, when you really think about the title of this podcast,
yes,
Failures, Flops, Fiascos,
yeah,
we have given a lot of love to fails.
Yep.
I'd say probably at least more than half of our episodes are about fails. We've also given a lot of love to fiascos. But one thing that we don't focus on as much are flops.
All right.
And that's what I'm here to talk about today.
Are we going to talk about LeBron James?
No. That is good though. I love that.
Yeah.
Because he does flop a lot. He's a little flop James. Yeah. So flops, right?
Yes.
Not flop. Very we don't talk about them as much as we do fails and fiascos. So I did something a little bit different with this episode. I wanted to take flops, actual products that came to market.
Oh, sweet.
They probably don't have enough substance on their own for an entire episode.
Okay.
So what I did was I just kind of combined like four
okay.
of the flops. That,
this is going to be good.
Yeah.
I can already feel it.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited about it, honestly. Now, Tim, you and I, we live in Colorado.
Yep.
It's dry.
Very.
It's windy. There's not as much atmosphere protecting us from the sun.
Okay.
So we have to use chapstick.
Yes.
I usually have to use...
I got one in my pocket right now.
It's usually something we carry on us at all times. It's a real thing here in Colorado. We need chapstick. In a boardroom somewhere, in Frito-Lay's corporate office, an idea was born.
I have no idea what you're going to be talking about, but you chapstick and Frito-Lay, I don't think that's
it's not going anywhere good. So in this boardroom, somebody said, you know, people have needs. People need the great taste of our Cheetos cheese puffs.
Oh no.
People also need their lips moisturized. The question was put to the group. Should we marry the cheesy, salty, orange, staining, thirst-inducing properties of our wildly successful Cheetos puffs to a lip balm?
The answer should have been no.
It should have been a resounding no.
Unanimous,
like that is a terrible idea. Nobody will want that. Well, as the boardroom exploded into cheers and the board members wiped tears of brilliance away from their eyes, the decision was made to introduce Cheeto Lip Balm.
Gross.
In 2005, Frito-Lay, the company who manufactures Cheetos, released a Cheeto-flavored lip balm.
The question I have is, they were serious about it, or was it like those Dr. Pepper flavored ones that they had when, you know, kids get it in their like?
I hope it wasn't serious.
I mean, Frito-Lay is a pretty big company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big company. And the reality of it is they probably didn't hurt from this flop in any way, but they thought it was going places. Frito-Lay's thought that this was going to be a smash. Like, it was going to be a hit in 2005. Why do you think this product failed?
There's so many reasons. Like, it tastes like cheese puffs.
Tastes like cheese puffs on your lips all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. I can feel it on my fingers right now.
I'm like looking at my fingers thinking they're going to be orange right now because it doesn't ever go away.
Right. It doesn't go away. It feels greasy. Yeah. There's this weird like texture to it.
I guess, know, with the greasiness, like maybe it would keep your lips like really moist.
One of the things about chapstick and lip balm is it's supposed to moisturize, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens when you put a salty flavor on your lips?
You're constantly licking them.
Mm-hmm.
So you need more chapstick.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you're constantly licking them. So you need more chapstick.
Yep. Here are some of the reasons why I failed. Unpleasant taste.
Yeah.
Many users found the taste of the lip balm to be unappealing, resembling the artificial cheese flavor of Cheetos.
That's the point, right?
Yep. But people are used to like a vanilla or like a mint,
okay,
something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
Maybe like a citrus or a fruity kind of,
yeah, okay,
a flavor. The greasy texture, too. Frito-Lays thought it would be a good idea to match the texture of the grease. So some users reported that the lip balm had a greasy or oily texture, which made it uncomfortable to wear. Staining. There were complaints that the orange color of the lip balm could stain lips or clothing, which was undesirable by many customers.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't want your lips to be looking orange like an Oompa Loompa. Lack of moisturizing properties. So despite being marketed as a lip balm, some users found that it did not effectively moisturize their lips and instead felt drying over time. Overall, these complaints contributed to the failure of Cheetos lip balm as a product.
So was that the only flavor?
That I know of, yeah. Just the original Cheetos. Just
Cheetos.
Yeah.
I think Frito-Lay wasn't like, let's do our ranch potato chip.
I don't think so. We talked about Cheetos lip balm. This next one, we're going to go way back. We're going to go to 1979.
Oh, that's two.
So you probably don't remember this at all.
No.
So cosmetics brand Clairol introduced a new shampoo. At the time, in 1979, there was a lot of push into like the health and fitness and this kind of thing, okay, right?
Yeah.
A lot of doctors were coming out with stuff about what you eat and how it affects your body, that kind of thing. Yogurt was a big thing at the time, okay? So are you starting to see where we're going with this?
Uh-huh.
Yogurt, it's all the rage in the health scene. Clairol, they're producing products, beauty products. In a boardroom somewhere.
This boardroom, man.
I'm telling you. In a boardroom somewhere, the question was put to the group. Should we put yogurt in shampoo? Ugh. And call it Touch of Yogurt Shampoo?
I feel like this could have worked.
Well, somebody must have said, you know, a dairy product is exactly what my hair is missing. Touch of Yogurt Shampoo didn't last very long. In fact, it was only on the market for like a year.
Did it have to be refrigerated?
No. That is wow. A good point, though, because one of the reasons why it failed was because people were confused about what it was. Some people thought it was yogurt. Some people thought it was edible. Some people shampooed and then drank some of the shampoo.
That's gross. They drank some of the shampoo.
Why do you think this failed? Other than people drinking the shampoo.
Why did this fail? I feel like they didn't know enough about yogurt to be like, hey, let's use this in cosmetics also.
Like science hadn't progressed to that point yet.
Kind of like we have oat milk now and there's oats and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it took a while to be like, should we try it in this?
Touch of Yogurt Shampoo likely failed due to a combination of reasons. Unusual concept. Mm-hmm. Reason number one. While yogurt has moisturizing properties, the idea of using it in shampoo may have seemed odd or unappealing to consumers, which I get.
Yeah.
Limited appeal. The product may not have resonated with a wide enough audience, as not everyone may have been interested in or willing to try a shampoo with yogurt protein.
That's what I'm saying. I think it was the wrong time period.
Mm-hmm.
If you came out with it now, it'd probably be like, this new thing is the best.
Yeah, and I'm better than you. My shampoo has yogurt. Well, another reason why it failed was marketing and branding. Despite its claims of nourishing hair, the marketing and branding of Touch of Yogurt Shampoo may not have effectively communicated its benefits or differentiated it from other shampoos on the market. Yeah.
Makes absolute sense.
Because I went back and looked at like a commercial of this, right? And the commercial was like all these women flipping their hair and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, It didn't really say anything about how the yogurt helps you, right?
Right.
It's just like, we put yogurt in shampoo, and you're welcome.
See, they're expecting people to already know what the benefits of the yogurt would be.
Yeah. Competition. Apparently, the shampoo market is very competitive, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Numerous established brands and products were already available. Touch of Yogurt may have struggled to compete effectively with these other brands. Overall,
were they doing the same thing, or just they were just better brands?
I think they were just more established, maybe a little bit better. I don't know that anybody else did Touch of Yogurt or anything like that. Do you know if there's any brands out there now that do yogurt in shampoo? Do you know if that's a thing?
My guess is probably.
There's probably some. It looked disgusting too. Like, that's one thing. It did look pretty disgusting.
I'm assuming, like, going back to the, like, was it refrigerated? You can't have dairy products left out in a bottle sitting there on your shower.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's not a good combo, man.
I wonder if it smelled, too. Touch of Yogurt shampoo?
No, thank you.
Didn't make it very long. Fail.
How long did you say?
I think it was only out for, like, 2 years.
Oh, that's longer than I would have given it.
Yeah. It was not successful. It was not all successful right. at all. All right, we're moving on. Tim, you and I, we believe in brushing our teeth.
Yeah.
Brushing our teeth is good. Yeah. Good. The dentist is happy when we brush our teeth.
Yep.
What comes to your mind when I say Colgate?
Toothpaste.
Do you get like the minty, like fresh feeling in your mouth when you think of Colgate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can see Colgate, right? Like the red. And then the white Colgate.
Yep.
Colgate's been around for a very long time, like since the early 1800s. Colgate and Palmolive are part of the same company.
Interesting. Palmolive? Yep. Palmolive, the dish soap?
Yeah.
Okay.
In a boardroom somewhere. In the 1980s, Colgate executives sat around a table. They discussed what should be done with a brand new extra batch of research and development money that they dedicated.
Okay.
One of the board members must have said, "Hey, besides being a place for our minty toothpaste to land, what else are teeth used for?"
Okay.
Perhaps the room fell silent as the board member's eyes darted back and forth across the room. Eating. Yes, eating.
Okay, yeah.
It's something that we do.
Yeah.
Yep, we use our teeth to eat. It's not just for brushing. Our teeth can also be used for eating. So the question was put to the board. Should we capitalize on the strong brand name that we possess and venture into the lucrative business of frozen meals?
Okay.
What could be better than the masses seeing the Colgate name, thinking of the minty clean mouth feeling of brushing your teeth, and thinking about eating a frozen chicken dinner at the same time? Or even thinking about eating a nice crab meat meal.
Oh, God.
And then brushing your teeth with our minty toothpaste.
Well, I mean, they're going to get all your money, I guess, right? They got you going in.
Mm-hmm.
They got you going out.
Exactly. Now, if they had made, like, toilet paper, Colgate toilet paper.
But honestly, like, toilet paper makes more sense than TV dinners.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes.
But still, when I think of toothpaste, I don't want to be swallowing toothpaste, you know?
Nah.
I don't want to eat anything associated with toothpaste. So, as the confetti fell and the money signs filled the executives' eyes, the decision was made to introduce Colgate kitchen entrees. It was very short-lived. This was introduced in 1982.
Oh, okay.
And it was discontinued in 1986.
Oh, that's way longer than
than I would have expected. Why did this fail?
Because people only think of toothpaste.
When you say Colgate,
yeah,
I think minty, fresh, clean teeth.
And no offense to the people out there, but I'm sure that people thought, if I'm eating these Colgate meals, it's also cleaning my teeth at the same time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Interesting decision on brand exploration. There were several reasons why this failed. Brand perception was the first one. Consumers primarily associated Colgate with oral care products, such as toothpaste and toothbrushes. The association between a dental hygiene brand and food may have been confusing or unappealing to consumers.
Yeah.
Lack of expertise. Colgate, their toothpaste company, they lacked experience and expertise in the food industry. Unlike established food companies, Colgate faced challenges in understanding consumer preferences, developing appealing recipes, and managing the complexities of the food supply chain.
So Colgate, if they own their Colgate name, that doesn't mean they can't be like, we have this side company and it's called Frozen Food.
That is a very good point.
That's still Colgate, you know, an offshoot.
But nobody would have to know, like, they're associated with Colgate. You don't slap Colgate on the front. Right, that's going to turn a lot of people off. Competition. The frozen food market was already highly competitive in the 1980s. There were established players like Stouffer's, Lean Cuisine, Banquet, Swanson. Yep. Those brands dominated the industry. Yeah. They were already very well established. Colgate faced an uphill battle in trying to establish a foothold in this already crowded market. Quality and taste. Reports suggest that the quality and taste of Colgate's kitchen entrees were not up to par with competitors. Consumers may have found the products lacking in flavor or quality compared to other options available on the market.
If I remember TV dinners from the 80s, there wasn't a whole lot of flavor anyway.
Yeah. Low expectations.
Like most, yeah. So if your expectations are like right here and you're going lower,
it's bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I don't even know that I would try Colgate frozen dinners.
Nah.
I think I would have been one of those people who just saw Colgate and been like, nah, I'm out. One final reason, marketing and distribution. Colgate may have struggled with marketing and distribution efforts for its frozen food products. Building brand awareness and securing shelf space in grocery stores are crucial aspects of success in the food industry.
That makes sense.
And Colgate's lack of experience in these areas may have hindered its ability to compete effectively.
Yeah. You already have those companies that own that space.
Yeah.
Basically.
They pay good money for those spaces.
Yeah.
They are expecting a good return on investment.
Yeah.
Overall, a combination of these factors, including brand perception, lack of expertise, strong competition, product quality, and marketing challenges, contributed to the failure of Colgate's venture into the frozen food market with kitchen entrees.
Have they just stuck with toothpaste now?
They said, we are going back to toothpaste, and we're just going to focus on toothpaste.
There you go.
And they have been successful ever since.
Do what you know how to do.
Yep. Do not try to overextend your brand's power.
Not with that.
Okay, so that's product number three.
Okay.
Our last product.
Please don't say Crystal Pepsi.
Nope. We've already talked about Crystal Pepsi. Tim, you and I, we like transportation.
Okay.
We like being able to go from point A to point B.
Yes.
It's always a good thing. Some people use public transit. Some people use their boring old car. Some people ride motorcycles in style.
Okay.
Harley Davidson knows you sometimes want to go from point A to point B while feeling the open air around you, listening to the hum of the engine. And when you arrive at your destination, taking your helmet off and gloriously whipping around your hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Harley Davidson. They know to get you from point A to point B in style. In a boardroom somewhere. Harley Davidson executives sat around the table and wanted to know how they could increase revenue for the company. I'm just curious to get your input.
TV dinners.
Just joking.
Harley Davidson TV dinner.
Okay, so we've already talked about three products that obviously they should never have tried what they tried, right? So I'm just kind of curious to get your opinion, Tim. If someone were to ask you how Harley Davidson, a motorcycle company, could maybe branch out into different sources of revenue, what would be some of your suggestions?
Helmets, jackets.
Jackets, yeah.
Like maybe like bicycles.
Bicycles?
I mean, it's still transportation, but you're taking the motor off. And
I would see that. I mean, it probably wouldn't be successful. Just jet knowing skis. Yeah, you know, something like that. Like
snowmobiles,
some type of like recreational vehicle. Yeah. or something that they may not have done before, right? I'm just kind of curious to get your opinion too, after we've talked about some of these failures. What would be a bad idea for Harley-Davidson?
Where would they not do so good?
I was thinking like
wind turbines,
musical instruments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe candles. Yeah.
Whiskey barrels. No, that would make sense.
I can see
actually.
That kind of making sense. That would go into the good ideas, right?
Exhaust flavored whiskey.
So in this boardroom, someone came up with the ultimate idea. They must have slammed their fist on the table, rose to their feet, and said, I have this all figured out. All of our problems are solved. Enter me in for a Nobel Prize. I know how to achieve world peace. As the other board members anticipate the glorious information about to be spewed from this executive's mouth, the executive walks over to the window overlooking the factory. He says in a confident, low voice, cologne.
I thought you were going to say bottled water, but cologne's even better.
The pandemonium in the boardroom must have been incredible. Yes, Harley-Davidson introduced several fragrances as part of its cologne line, including Legendary, a masculine scent featuring notes of bergamot, mandarin, and sandalwood.
All right.
Freedom, a fresh and invigorating fragrance with citrus, lavender, and amber notes. Mm. Hot Road.
Hot Road.
A bold and spicy scent with hints of black pepper, leather, and musk.
That one makes the most sense so far.
It does. Cool Spirit. A refreshing fragrance with aquatic and woody notes.
Oh.
Evoking a sense of adventure. And Original.
And Original.
A classic and timeless scent with warm and woody undertones, reflecting the heritage of the Harley-Davidson brand.
All right.
These fragrances were designed to embody the spirit of freedom, adventure, and masculinity associated with the Harley-Davidson lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. Hot Road.
Hot Road. What are you wearing?
Hot Road. I'm wearing Original. What was the other?
Legendary. As in the dairy we just talked about.
Yeah, Legendary.
Yeah. I would never admit to wearing any of these.
No.
Why did this fail?
I don't think the guys that ride Harleys are putting on cologne.
I agree. I don't think...
Wait, when did this come out?
This was early, I think, 90s?
I think of like 70s Harley riders.
Mm-hmm.
And then like kind of transitions into those guys that like want to be, I ride a Harley.
Yeah. Like they try too hard.
Those guys I could see wearing cologne. Like, I'm going to go ride my Harley today. Yeah.
I feel like you would lose all the scent if you're riding a Harley. All of that's just going to.
They could have come up with like cars have air fresheners. Why not put the scent on your motorcycle handles?
Hmm.
While you're riding,
mm-hmm.
The scent flies in your face. See, I should have been in this boardroom.
Yeah, there you go. That would have been better.
Yeah.
Or you could put it in your gas tank.
Yeah.
And then everyone behind you,
yes,
smells.
Like, what is that smell? Yeah. Smells like
Original.
It smells like Hot Road.
Harley-Davidson's venture into the fragrance market faced several challenges, leading to its eventual discontinuation, brand extension. While Harley-Davidson is renowned for its motorcycles and associated lifestyle, entering the fragrance market was seen by some consumers as a stretch too far from the brand's core identity. This may have led to skepticism and a lack of interest from potential customers.
Yeah.
Market saturation? The fragrance market is highly competitive, with numerous established brands vying for consumer attention. Harley-Davidson faced stiff competition from well-established fragrance companies with extensive marketing budgets and established customer bases.
I kind of thought of something else too, and this might be kind of far-fetched, but the people that they're marketing, people that are probably driving Harley-Davidsons, are they saying that they stink? Okay, you guys need to put on some cologne.
When I think of what a Harley-Davidson rider smells like, I think of a mechanic for some reason.
Yeah, all right.
Like saturated in gas, exhaust fumes, maybe hasn't put on deodorant in a few days.
I can't picture like Hell's Angels or anything putting on cologne or anything. So,
I agree. I guess when I think of Harley-Davidson riders, I think of two different kinds. There's like the 60, 70-year-old man who's got a beard that's flapping in the wind. It's like down to his knees. And he's got his arms way up here. Yeah. And he's just got nothing else to do but ride his Harley-Davidson.
Yeah.
I think of also those really big, ugly motorcycles, like the cruiser type of motorcycles. Okay, yeah. I think of those guys that are just kind of like midlife crisis. When I think of a motorcycle, I want to ride a sports bike. Like, I want to go fast. I want to be weaving in and out of traffic. That's the kind of thing I want to do. I don't really want to just kind of cruise.
See, I'm the opposite.
You want to just cruise.
Yeah, but I don't want the, you know, I think they're called like cafe cruisers. Like the 50s, like European, like before they became like the.
Like the BMWs that they came out with.
Yeah. I think those are cool.
Target audience. While Harley-Davidson enthusiasts may have been interested in the brand's lifestyle products, the appeal of Harley-Davidson branded cologne might not have been strong enough to attract a wider audience beyond existing fans of the brand.
That makes sense.
Product differentiation. Despite attempts to capture the essence of the Harley-Davidson lifestyle, the fragrances may not have offered enough unique selling points or distinctive qualities to stand out in the crowded fragrance market. I don't think of like amber notes when I think of Harley-Davidson. No. Or citrus.
The first one with the sandalwood.
Yeah, the musk.
Yeah,
yeah.
That does.
Yeah, I could see that. Execution. Factors such as packaging, pricing, and distribution strategies could have contributed to the failure of Harley-Davidson cologne. If these aspects were not properly aligned with consumer expectations or market trends, it could have hindered the success of the product. Overall, the combination of brand perception, market competition, and execution challenges likely contributed to the failure of Harley-Davidson's venture into the fragrance market. So, Tim, we talked about four products. They flopped. And that's what we're talking about here, flops. Overall, these flops and failures are an example of poor brand extension and failing to understand the target audience.
Yeah.
That's my episode.
That was good. Harley-Davidson. I'm thinking, like, who was in these boardrooms, man, that Harley, especially this, the last one, there's so many places where you could make money.
Yeah.
Like, why not have a collaboration with a distillery?
Yeah. Think this through a little bit more. Like
Cologne.
What was your favorite product that we talked about today?
Probably the cologne.
The cologne?
Yeah. I don't think I would have tried the Colgate food.
But you can understand why it failed.
The shampoo, I probably maybe would have tried it.
For moisturized hair?
Yeah, sure. The lip balm, I think it's more of a gimmick.
I think they make a spicy flavored lip balm now for the red hot, you know, like Cheeto spicy
stuff. That sounds painful.
Yeah, sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, that was fun. I think we could do another one of more flops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
More of those, like... The thing with those was they were so short-lived that they weren't like...
Yeah.
You couldn't make an entire episode about...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Any of them, but I thought it would be fun to kind of push
them on. But that gives me hope because I've been thinking of another idea. It's one main idea, but it's probably going to be like three or four short parts.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Four chapters.
Yes. Keep listening, everyone.
we appreciate you guys sticking with us, even though our posting schedule got disrupted a little bit.
Yes.
Had some sickness, you know, the whole thing.
Sickness, so. Yep. Time, just life. Follow us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those, except YouTube.
Yeah.
Because we're not there yet.
Nah. One of these days, we might upgrade to a camera, but you don't want to see our faces.
Yeah, we don't, yeah. I'm surprised we even use our real names. Keep listening. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Follow us.
Yep. We'll see you next time.
Yep. You'll hear us next time.
Yeah. Man, we'll see you. You'll hear us.
That was creepy. Really.
That was creepy. I tried to make it creepy, but that was.
Oh, you did a good job.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Just thank kidding. You, guys.
Okay.
Tim Jordan out.
Peace.
Thank you guys for listening to another episode. Please follow us on Twitter at FX3Podcast. Our Instagram is at F3Pod_cast. And Facebook is Failures, Flops, and Fiascos. Please feel free to submit your fail of the week to FX3Podcast@gmail.com. Thanks again, guys, and we'll see you next time.